We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of 30 Minutes of the Hell podcast. I am your host, Brandon Baker, joined as always by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. A reminder that we are brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us there on YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your stuff at, under 30 Minutes of Hell. And we appreciate you guys tuning in to talk some Razorback hoops with us. It's been a minute since we've talked. The season ended on not a very positive note. Hogs had a pretty disappointing loss to South Carolina. But truthfully, we moved on to portal season, right? I think we've said about all we can say about this season. A lot of it was repetitive, a lot of the same mistakes popping up. Just a lot of things that weren't very good, weren't very fun for anybody this season. But we're gonna have some closing remarks on just maybe a couple of major points that we noticed that we want to focus on this offseason and as we move forward, some things we don't really want to see repeated. And then we'll talk a little bit about the guys that have the option to return next year and what our thoughts are on if they will, if we want them back, those kind of things. And then we're going to look a little bit at the transfer portal and maybe just, you know, some of the, maybe the archetype of players that we're really interested in bringing in this year. We'll throw a few names against the wall that Arkansas has already contacted on the first official day of portal season. So we've got a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. I don't really want to beat this horse dead. The season sucked. There's not a lot else to say with it, but there are a few key aspects, like I said, that we can maybe point to that we can focus on and hope that they don't repeat themselves next year. And to me, one of the biggest things that I noticed in this season was the lack of that big, versatile wing defender. And it's something that I feel like Musselman has always had on all of his Arkansas teams. You look at guys like Trey Wade and Audis Tony and Stanley Amude, and to an extent, guys like Moses Moody and Jalen Tate. I know they played other roles as well, but that big 6'6 to 6'8 guy that can defend multiple positions, can make plays without the ball in his hands. We just didn't really have that this year. You had Jeremiah Davenport was 6'7". He played more like a guard. I really liked his energy at times. He wasn't big enough, and he didn't have that defensive prowess that some of these other guys had in the past. And then Tremont Mark was supposed to be our lockdown defender, but I feel like he was asked to do so much offensively and just all over the court at times that he just literally didn't have the energy to do all of it. You know, he couldn't be the big lockdown defender that I'm talking about that I wanted on this roster while also carrying the offensive load that he did. So that's one thing to me that really stood out this season that I really hope that we correct in the transfer portal. And it seems, we'll get to it later, but it seems like Musselman is already talking to some guys that fit that mold a little bit. So we'll get into that here in a minute, but I really want one of those glue guys. They don't have to be a primary scorer. They don't have to put up 18 points a game, just a glue guy, a big defender that we can use in multiple lineups and is versatile. So that's my big takeaway that I'm looking for this offseason as we move forward. What are some things that you guys saw this season, some things that you guys are looking at this offseason to correct?
I'm kind of with you, Brandon. We need some defenders. We need some athleticism on the team, you know. Something that I want to avoid next season, and it seems like it's a trend year after year, is we target our holes each year. So it seems like Musk just always tries to fill the gap from the year before with an entire roster of what we were missing. Like last year, we were missing a go-to guy for scoring. We went and got an entire team full of go-to guys for scoring and didn't focus on anything else. I want a more well-rounded roster next year. And like you said, we need the athletic wing. We need a defender. I really want to see some 3-and-D guys. We kind of got a little of that with Davenport. He wasn't the best defensively, but guys that can go down, hit shots, and then come back and defend the heck out of the ball and defend the heck out of, like, just in general, like not even on-ball defense. We need someone smart, defensively intelligent, who can make plays on the defensive side of things. I was preaching about this mid-season. We need a playmaking guard. If it's just one, perfect. We need someone who can come down the court, read a defense, and make plays. That's my primary focus, is a guard who we can rely on to run our offense, because we had no version of that. We thought it was three, four different guys this season, and we never really got what we were looking for. But I want someone who can control our offense.
Yeah, I am going to go a different route and say that I would like a athletic big, a guy who is maybe 7 feet tall, preferably. I joked before we started that I wanted a Jokic, but that's what we need. And at the end of the day, we never really go after them. We had what the last 7-footer we had was Vanover, right? And I would really like that. Guys, I am sorry, but this car alarm is just killing me. I can't talk. I can't talk with
I
it.
was wondering if we were going to address
Dude,
that.
I am so sorry. What is
Oh my
going on?
gosh. Did it just
Thank
start
you.
stopped? All
It
right.
like I apologize. I
Matt,
couldn't
just
form
pick up at the
a
beginning of what you were saying. Just start over with, I'm going to go a
I'm
different
keeping this in
direction.
the recording. Just keep going.
Okay.
Okay. I know Mekhi Mitchell really shined towards the end of the season, but I want somebody who is big bodied, who is just really aggressive. I love the fact that we were getting blocks. I mean, shoot, we were still the leading. Were we the leading team in blocks still, or we were close to it?
We were
We were at
leading
one
the
time.
SEC when they were talking about us in the tournament.
Yeah. So, I mean, my goodness, I loved our attack there. But I want a guy that can rebound the basketball no matter where he's at. I mean, I don't care as much of getting offense out of my bigs as I care about the aggression, you just getting after a board. Sure, block some shots, but get the dang rebound.
It's funny you say that, Matt, because Brazil was that guy. He just didn't show
You're
it.
right. And I mean, and that can be said, we can get a very defensive oriented big that can block shots and have those wing guys that you are talking about that can grab the rebound afterwards. Just people, we just need overall, I think the main thing we need is hustle. We didn't have too much effort this year. And we punched that into the dang wall, though, throughout the entire season. Just saying, we need some guys that have a little bit of want to a little bit of effort. But overall, I think if we can get a good big, defensive oriented, versatile big, we'll be in much better shape than we were this year in terms of one of the big holes being rebounding.
Yeah. Those are pretty good points right there. We've kind of covered playmaking guards, athletic wings, a versatile big man. Those are, things that you would think make up a pretty good team. And we thought we had some of them on this roster, but they ended up not being that way. We thought L. Ellis and Keon Minifield were going to be those playmakers, and neither of them gave us consistency. Sometimes it was defense, sometimes it was effort, sometimes it was scoring. They just weren't consistent on the court. And Mekhi wasn't that guy for a lot of the season. Some of it was maybe just due to minutes played. And then late in the season, he kind of blossomed, and all of a sudden, Arkansas looked really good. Just like you said, and we didn't win all those games, but we were at least the competitive team we thought we should be the whole season, even in some losses. And I think a lot of that was about Mekhi. And I even coming into this last season, I really wish that we could have found depth at the center position. And I know Chandler Lawson was a welcome surprise, but he's still only like 6'8". And there were still times where he just wasn't big enough. He just wasn't that guy in the post that we needed. I really wanted somebody beside Mekhi Mitchell to kind of have that duo down there, but as we saw, it wasn't really the case this year. So that'll be something interesting to watch this offseason. All right, but up next, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the guys that do have the option to come back and recap the guys that have already are running out of eligibility, that have already announced their transfer, everything going on with the current roster. But first, we're going to take one quick break, so we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get into it. Let's take a look at the roster from this season and just kind of get a general feel for what could happen this offseason and just talk about the official announcements that have already been made. You've got five guys in Jalen Graham, Mekhi Mitchell, Jeremiah Davenport, L. Ellis, Chandler Lawson. All five of these guys are out of eligibility. They don't have the option to come back even if they wanted to. Then you have three guys who have already announced their intent to enter the transfer portal. So you've got Joseph Pinion announced first the other day, then Denijay Harris and Keon Minifield. I was kind of hopeful that we could see another year of Minifield. Didn't really work out that way. I was kind of hopeful we could get Pinion again and see if we could, if he actually could develop into a solid role player, but I fully understand him wanting to go find some playing time, kind of get some meat on his career a little bit there. But that leaves us with six guys, because keep in mind, this team kind of had 14 players shoved into 13 roster spots because they thought Minifield was going to be ineligible and he turned out to be eligible. And so then there was just kind of a weird situation where you had one extra guy. So you're left with six guys that still have the option. And we'll just go down the list here and talk a little bit about each of them. Top of the board, Devo Davis still has his COVID year. He left the team for three games this year for personal reasons, did kind of a similar thing last year. Took a long time last summer to decide what he was going to do in terms of testing the NBA or coming back. Personally, I would be pretty shocked if he did come back for a fifth year. I think there's just been too much going on with him personally, with him and the team. It's not impossible. Obviously, he has the year to use if he wants to. But my opinion, I would be a little shocked if he came back. What do you guys think about Devo?
Yeah, I mean, I hope for Devo's sake that he kind of calls it quits. I am appreciative of everything he's done for the program, but I just feel like it is time for a change for Arkansas in general, and I think for Devo as well. And that's really all I have to say about him.
Yeah, I don't want Devo back. He, like you said, Matt, he's done great things for the program. He wasn't the player that he was expected to be this year. And while I say that, I think that it's possible that he comes back next year just because of how low quality of a season he had. I think that he wanted to test a professional play out last year and didn't really have the resume quite yet. And now his resume is even worse with this season. I'm kind of with you, Brandon. I don't necessarily think he'll come back, but I want to leave it on the table as it's a possibility, just to, you know, get some better stock in his, you know, his professional case. Because I mean, coming off of a you know, solid year, the solid couple years, you know, the in his college career, then I mean, I hate to say it, but this was a total dud of a season for Devo. I don't know if that's kind of looming in his mind too, as he needs to come back with revenge and a final, you know, triumph, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And speaking of that guy that maybe let down some season expectations, the next guy on the list, Trevin Brazil, an all SEC type player in the preseason, had sky high expectations, lottery pick potential, still does have that kind of potential to him, but I don't know if it was the role that he was put into, if it was the roster construction around him. I think a big part of it was still coming back from his knee injury, that he was worried about taking things and getting too physical in the paint at times. I think we saw a lot that he settled for jump shots early on in the season and didn't do the things that make him such a good player. But he definitely has the option to come back. I believe last year will probably count as a medical redshirt, so I would assume he still has 2 years left on the table if he wants to use them. But still projected in a lot of NBA drafts online. And that's really, I mean, like you said, Joey, Devo kind of had a down season. Trevin Brazil had a down season for sure. Yeah. And it included another injury, a stint where he missed some time this year. So another scare for NBA scouts. But just his raw athleticism, just a freak of nature with his jumping ability, his leaping ability at 6'10". And he's got really good instincts as a shot blocker. He showed his ability to be a good rebounder this year. And then late in the season, we kind of saw him doing some things we wanted to see, crashing the glass, running in transition, taking threes when they're open, but not settling for too many of them. I would love to see him back. He's definitely one that I think he's going to test the pro route. I think he's definitely one that he can't afford for his stock to fall any lower. He can't afford for his knees to take any more wear and tear before he goes and tests the NBA waters. That's just my opinion. What do you guys think about Trevin?
I completely agree with you. I think he'll test the pro. He's got enough, you know, sky high potential for a team to take a chance on him in the first round, even if he's not a lottery pick. But I think he tests the draft. Like you, I'd love to have him back. I think, you know, now that he's got a give or take full year under his belt, I think that he would be a great addition to next year's team, especially with a new group completely around him. But I don't realistically see that happening. I see him going to the NBA.
Yeah, I think they'll take a shot on him in the draft. But I will say, with NIL being in question, I mean, NIL really does change a lot in terms of whether players join the draft or not. I would not be surprised if he transferred and just went to just fresh start. You know, had two injuries at Arkansas, maybe just get a fresh start somewhere else, get a little different approach, because his draft stock did fall really low, and you may be getting paid more in college than you would trying to test the waters of being pro. So it all depends on his mindset. I would love to have him back, like you guys. I think now that we know what he is built for, kind of being that third option, like we talked about in the podcast prior, I think we would do a better job of building around that rather than making him the star, and maybe give him a little bit of a better shot at being that lottery pick that we saw him in the first time he was in a Razorback jersey. But yeah, it's my opinion on him.
I see a lot of Jordan Walsh path with this, with Trevin Brazil right now, because Walsh didn't really get a good opportunity. He got a kind of a crappy draw going to the Celtics. And I mean that in the terms of they're a really good team focusing on a championship right now, so he didn't have room to play, but he's killing it in the G League. I mean, he's really doing stuff that he did not do here.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot of that potential with Brazil if he does go and realize that potential somewhere else like that. All right, so the next guy up, Caleb Battle. He's an interesting one because he started off the season easily our leading scorer. I think he scored 20-plus in the first three games of the season or something like that. Got into SEC play and had a couple of DNPs, and we were like, what the heck is going on? Then came out and became the all-time leading scorer over a four-game stretch in the last 28 years in the SEC. So, I mean, if he had been like that all season, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It would be pretty clear that I think he'd be testing the draft waters. But he didn't have that great of a season overall. A lot of it was inconsistency. Maybe some of it was just playing time. I don't know. It just took him that long to settle in and realize what he needed to do. But this is number one on my list, guys, that I want back next year. Number one on my list of guys that I would love to have back, have a full season under his belt, build around that. What do you guys think about Caleb?
Yep, 110%. I want him back. I don't think he did enough to have an NBA team pick him in the draft, so I'm really hoping he just stays. But I think it really does depend on the coaching situation. I know we haven't talked about it too much, but I mean, he seems pretty all in on Mus. He said so in a few press conferences, so. We'll just kind of see there, but I want him back.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. There's not much more to say. I want to see Battle back in a Razorback jersey, and he's kind of alluded to the fact that he'll come back, whether that be straightforward, yeah, I'm gonna be back next season, or just kind of hinting at it in sidebar interviews. But I would love to see him back on the team. I think he's got the potential to be an all-time great. As a Razorback, I mean, he's kind of already thrown his name into the hat with that run that he went on toward the end of the season. But I think now that we know what he's capable of in this type of play, I think Musselman was kind of unsure with what Battle could produce. That's why he got hit with those DNPs at the beginning of the season, because he kind of got slow. But now that we know that he can light up SEC teams for 40 points, I think that's a lot more to go off of in a season of rebuilding, if you want to call it that. But definitely want to see him back in the roster next year.
Yeah, and I kind of compared Trevin to Jordan Walsh's path. I could absolutely see Caleb Battle following a similar path to Mason Jones type player, where he finds himself on some 10-day contracts, some G League contracts, some things like that. And if he improves it, it could be better than that. But right now, just the type of scorer he is, I think he's got that type of potential already. So it'll be interesting this offseason.
He reminds me a lot of JD Notae,
Yeah,
personally.
I see that. I can see that too. All right, next guy up, Tremont Mark. He was, if you'd asked me 2, 3 weeks ago about people coming back, he was probably a, I was probably leaning towards him testing the draft waters about the same as I would Trevin Brazil, but I don't know. I don't know what his plan is going to be. He kind of settled into more of a backseat role. And I say that he was still putting up 15, 17 points at times. But once Caleb Battle established himself, once Mekhi Mitchell started rolling, we saw Tremont Mark kind of start doing more things that maybe he thought he was going to do when he came here. You know, he was getting 8 rebounds a game, dishing out 5 assists, and then only taking 7 shot attempts instead of trying to score 35 points a game. So I would be interested to see him back next year too, depending on the roster construction. I thought there were times this year where we asked him to do too much offensively, and he just turned into an ISO, a shot chucker basically. And he did really good at it. I mean, he was scoring 30 points sometimes. But we just didn't have a lot of other options this year. And I think that if we could get some other, a better roster construction and allow him to be that, a guy that's playing the 2 spot and the 3 spot and just hounding other players as a defender while also continuing to improve his offensive game, he could really elevate a team rather than just being, the LeBron of a team. Because that's kind of what it felt like sometimes. That's all we it was just the ball in his hands and let him go. So how are we feeling about Tremont Mark?
I don't think that he'll have a better season than what he did this year in college basketball. But on the same token, he's a good college basketball player. I don't know if he fits like the NBA archetype, because there's not really mid-range focus in the NBA. It's either you're a slasher, you're getting to the rim, you're drawing fouls, or you're a three-point shooter. And I would say that the majority of Mark's shots come from the mid-range game. I know I'm getting into kind of a different thing than we're talking about, so I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 on if Mark will come back, because like Matt mentioned earlier, the NIL money, I don't think that he's gonna have a better season than what he's had this year. All around, he's had a solid season. I mean, averaging 17 points a game, probably 5 or 6 rebounds, probably three assists. I mean, overall, he's had a well-rounded season. I just don't know how well his game translates to the NBA. So for that, I'd probably say come back to to college basketball and, you know, give it another year to show if you can, you know, expand that skill set.
Yeah, and Brandon, I agree with you in terms of depending on the construction of the team, do I want Mark back? Because he is a ISO scorer, and depending on his workload, if he has to be that ISO scorer, I don't want to see ISO ball. I mean, it just doesn't work in college basketball. The best teams have really good ball movement and have shooters on each corner, things like that. I mean, we can't do the ISO ball like we did this year. And I will say that will change if we know Battle's coming back, because we know he's going to get his points. And that, like we saw, it was much better. Mark was much better at moving that ball around, moving without the ball, getting to where we need to be. But it really does depend on the construction of the team. He already tested the draft waters before, if I'm right, in the transfer portal last year. And I don't know how good of a season he had last year. I assume this one was much better. Because he was at Houston, and yeah. I don't think he was even the best on that team.
He did play a key role in that Houston team,
though. He was a big role, but he didn't have the stats quite like right. He had here.
Yeah.
Right. So it's 50-50 for me as well. Whether I want him back or not, it depends. It really does depend.
All right. So the last two guys on the list, both of the freshmen that were here this year, and we'll start we'll start with Bayfall. That's an easier one for me. I'd love to see him back. I don't think I would not be surprised at all. I think he's one of the more likely transfer candidates after not getting hardly any playing time this year. I think he had almost as many minutes played as he did DNPs on the season. So, I mean, there's not much else to say. He's a raw talent, very good instincts defensively, very soft touch offensively, but he's skinny and he needs a lot of work. He needs to develop a lot of things. Mus has not shown to be that kind of patient developing type of coach. Maybe Bayfall will be different. Maybe we'll see what comes of it next year, but there's not been a lot of guys that come into the program young and then grow into something we want to see them be. So I would not be surprised at all if he leaves. I would be happy to have him back as a project piece.
I'm with you, Brandon. You took the words right out of my mouth. He's a very raw talent, and Mus just isn't the guy to develop that raw talent. So I don't see him coming back. If he does, great. I'd love to see him develop as a Razorback, but I don't know if he will or not.
I really don't care whether he comes back or
the
not.
The biggest Bayfall stan I know doesn't care.
No, that is my fiance. All right. She liked Bayfall. No, I mean, same with you guys. If he comes back, awesome. I'm happy to have anybody as a Razorback, but if he doesn't, I understand.
Yeah. That sums it up pretty well, I think. All right, so then the last guy, Layden Blocker, fan favorite on the year, one of our favorites. I think I mentioned it before. It's rare that you have a guy that's more fun to watch on the defensive side of the ball than it is offensively. And Layden is absolutely one of those guys. And I love watching him play basketball. I love the energy and effort he plays with. I think we got to see a little bit of his playmaking ability offensively, but not really what he's capable of. He got a little bit more confident in his shot late in the season. But I think that he still goes 110 miles per hour. That's something that we've talked about is probably his biggest downfall at the moment. One reason, probably the biggest reason, he wasn't getting the playing time people thought that maybe he should have gotten. But I think that as the game slows down for him, as he gets more minutes logged, as he develops a little more, he's going to be really good. I mean, he's already special defensively. I want him back. I think he is top two on my list. I said earlier that Caleb Battle was the guy I went back. Layden is the number two guy on this list out of these six guys that I would love to see back. But after what we just talked about, he got five straight DMPs to end the season. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he leaves. So, but I want him back.
I'd be shocked if he stayed, honestly, with how the season went for him. Just on the coaching side of things, I would love to have him back. He's in my top two as well, right behind Battle. But I just don't see it happening, sadly enough. I think he could be such a game changer to any team, not only the Razorbacks, but it'd be great to get him back here.
please come back.
If you're listening to this,
please come back for my sake.
Matt will give you $10 to come back, Layden.
Please. Yeah. All right. That's all I have to say.
All right. Well, those are the guys that Arkansas could get back from their roster this year. So now let's take a look a little bit. After another quick break, we're going to look at some guys that could come in as transfers. It's early in transfer portal season. The names are just going to keep pouring in. So this is by no means a comprehensive list, but we're going to look at some guys that Arkansas has already contacted, talk about some of the things that we want to focus on this summer, or that we hope they focus on this summer. But first, we're going to take one more quick break, and we will be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's get into it. Transfer portal season. We talked about it a little bit at the start. Arkansas probably needs a little bit of everything out of this transfer portal haul. You got playmaking guards that are probably going to hit the portal. You've got versatile big men that can really lock down the paint, be good defenders. But my focus that I talked about at the beginning is that big wing that you can fill out that can play two or three positions. You can be versatile with them. It's a bonus if they can shoot from three. They don't necessarily have to. It's okay if you bring in a guy that's just a defensive stud. We had guys like Adis Toney wasn't a fantastic three-point shooter. He made it work. Trey Wade wasn't a great three-point shooter when he got here, but he hit a lot of threes or a high percentage of threes on low volume. He made it work. So just guys like that that are big and versatile and can just do little things. And I think that that was a huge thing we were missing this year. I mean, I'm talking about guys like Jordan Walsh, Adis Toney, like I said, Trey Wade, Amude, Tate, Anthony Black, Ricky Council. I mean, Musselman thrives with these guys. And we had one of them on this roster, and it was Tremont Mark, and he had too much of a workload. So I would love to see us get like three of these guys this summer and bring in along with some of the other guys that might come back. We've got two freshmen that are 6'5 and 6'7 that are currently committed. So that may be a plus two. But that's kind of the thing that I'm looking at here for this offseason. And real quick, I want to just get into some of the guys that Arkansas has already contacted in portal season. Mykael Brown Jones from UNC Greensboro. Yes, the same UNC Greensboro that beat Arkansas earlier this season. The guy averaged 19 points, 7.5 rebounds, and shot 43% from three this year. 6'8", 220 pounds. That's a monster. All right. If that's our starting four next year, I would be pretty happy with that. He's probably at the top of my list among guys that we've contacted so far. I would love to bring him in this summer. That's a huge get, in my opinion. And then you got three other guys that are all 6'7", all from the mid-major ranks that Arkansas has already contacted. Got Jacob Cruz from UT Martin, 19 points a game, 41% from deep. Michael Ajayi from Pepperdine, 17 points a game, 47% from deep. Kyrese Mullen, 6'7", again, from Hampton. Averaged about 15 points per game last season, a pretty good defender, only shot 30% from three. But like I was saying, if you can just hit a couple and just be respectable enough to stay on the court and let your defense shine, I'm great with that. That's the kind of guy that I want to see, the dirty work kind of player, a glue guy. You know, I don't want us to go out and get eight guys this summer that scored 18 points per game at their last school. I want to get a couple guys that averaged 11 points and 9 rebounds a game, or 8 points and 2 steals a game. Couple guys that shot low three-point volume but hit 45% from long range, you know, versatile, a little bit more well-rounded roster. So I feel like I kind of covered a lot of ground on that little spiel, but what are you guys looking for in the portal other than maybe what I've said so far?
Yeah, I think you and I are thinking the exact same thing. Literally as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, I don't want to go after like superstars, like depending on how our roster looks with the thought of Battle potentially coming back. I want a playmaking point guard, a pass first point guard. I want a 3-and-D guy. I mentioned both of those at the start of the show. I want a roster of, we have 1 to 2 primary, like, get hot guys who can score the basketball. We've got guys set out on the wings that we can dish to when needed. And we've got our playmaking point guard in the middle that facilitates everything. All four of those guys I really like. We don't need a whole team of home runs. We need solid, like you said, glue guys. You covered all of my thoughts on this.
Yeah. One thing that worries me is we're gonna get too many of these glue guys. We have to think, like, let's just assume Battle's coming back, so that covers one of our holes. We have somebody that could just go get us something. But what seems to happen is we reach out to this select group that we're missing and we get every single one of them. And that messes us up. Now we have guys that can play defense, but you're going to have to beat them 40 points to 38 points. And we're just not getting any.
If we're winning games like that next year, we're still winning games.
That is true. That is true. I would much rather win games, but hopefully, like, I'd be fine with one or probably two of these, any of them, really. I think all of them seem to be great players, but give me two of those guys, or maybe three, get some extra depth, but give me a big, give me somebody who, you know.
And they we need a big more than ever now that Mitchell's going to be gone.
Well, give me somebody strong. My goodness. Give me somebody that has hit the weight room, okay?
Where's Sheway? Can we get him back in a Razorback jersey?
I get that the kind of trend now with even professional is you're not really getting those bigs anymore, but college basketball is different. If you have one guy that can bully, my goodness, that changes everything.
You see it every year. You see it with Purdue. We saw it with, like I said, Sheboy. Like, if you get that big bully ball, I mean, you take over games with that.
Right. So that's what I want. Give me a bully. I mean, 6'10", 6'11", but strong, you know, and athletic. You can be 6'10", but if you're athletic and big, then you take away from those skinny 7-footers. You're just stronger than them. So give me something like that. I like these guys, but let's see somebody with a little bit of muscle on them get in there, bully some people.
I'm glad you brought that up, Matt, because might I interest you in the most recent contact that Arkansas has made? 6'10", Amari Williams from Drexel. He has 4 years of college experience, 6'10", 230, averaged 12 points, 8 rebounds last year, almost 2 blocks a game, big athletic forward. And it just so happens he also shoots 33% from 3-point range.
Sounds like Matt's type of guy.
So he seems perfect. I mean, that's a big contact.
Matt, why don't you reach out to him?
I'll give him a call. Me and Musselman have the same mind now.
I think you can get him here. I think if you give him that same spiel that we just got, I think he might come.
Yeah. All right, let's see.
All right. Well, that pretty much covers all I wanted to talk about today. A lot of holes to be filled this offseason in terms of roster construction. Could be even more coming up soon. We don't know how many of these 6 guys are going to return, how many are going to leave. It's going to be an interesting offseason. And we didn't even really talk about the possibility of Musselman being here or not. All things seem to have cooled down on some of those talks, but, you know, nothing official has come out. It's not worth speculating too deep into anything like that right now. But it has been quiet to start the portal season, so that's a little suspicious. But anyways... All right. Well, that's all we had to talk about today. We appreciate you guys tuning in to talk Razorback Hoops with us. Reminder, we're brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts under 30 Minutes of Hell. I've been your host, Brandon Baker, joined by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. And as always, go Hogs.
Thank y'all.
Blue pig.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.